Greetings and welcome again around God's Word. We've opened into the book of 1 Samuel for our first reading. And we have chapter 3 open before us. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The call of Samuel. And let's start at verse 1 together. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle, and that I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's pause there and sing from hymn 136 in the Zion's Harp. Hymn 136.
Through the blessed Spirit's
Let's pray together. Our Father, as we gather again this afternoon around Thy Word, we are very thankful. We're thankful for the Word this morning and for just the timeless, the eternal thoughts that that we are reminded of. And Father, we pray that that Thou would help us in our identity in Thee, in our claiming of the promises of Christ, that we also claim His cross, that we would claim His perspective, not only on Himself, but on others, choosing to be a blessing rather than to be blessed. And Father, we just pray that Thou would continue to work in our minds and in our hearts and our families, that Father, we would be marked by being a blessing and not looking to be blessed. And Father, we just are so in awe of Thy love for us. We're so in awe of the cross and the willing choice to come and to stand in our place, as a place of judgment, not a place of glory, but a place of judgment, and one of separation from the Father. And yet Thou didst willingly come and step in that role and take our sin upon Thyself. And so we know that to be true. We know it with our minds and yet with our hearts, that we can hardly fathom the depth of Thy love for us. And so we pray that Thou would again open our eyes and our hearts to an understanding of the depth of Thy love, an understanding of the depth of Thy truth, an understanding that embracing Thy truth, while is not a simple and an easy life, it is, Father, the only eternal life. It is the only path to an eternity being completely reconciled to Thee and being in Thy presence and communing with Thee for all eternity. So, Father, we ask for Thy perspective. We ask for Thy just for Thy grace to become more as Christ and to become less of ourselves. And, Father, we just pray for understanding as we turn again to Thy Word and ask Thy blessing upon our meditation. We ask Thy presence with those in Sunday school, both the teachers and the children, that Thy truth would penetrate their hearts and that Thy truth would become real to them and significant to them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've opened into the first chapter of the New Testament. Let's begin in verse 18 together. St. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall bring forth a son, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So let's pause there for a moment. When you think about Samuel's birth, if you go back into chapters 1 and 2, I think many of us are familiar with the story of Hannah and her pleading with God. Even so, that if we go back into chapter 1, starting at verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Which, of course, is fulfilled in the birth of Samuel, and then Samuel is taken to Eli in service of the Lord and fulfillment of that vow. And then we read in chapter 3 of the call of Samuel then. But the pattern that this continues to follow. We heard this morning of Abraham and his desire for the promise of God to be fulfilled, and he saw this promise in his sight coming into danger. He saw this as he aged. How is this promise going to be fulfilled? Right. So he takes it upon himself to help God fulfill his promise to him. And hence the birth of Ishmael. We heard, as Brother Clint shared this morning, that it's through Isaac, right, that the promise would be fulfilled, not through Ishmael. And what do we know about Isaac? Well, we know that Isaac, of course, was, as we read this morning, born in Abraham and Sarah's old age. Not just old, but past the time when it was feasible, we might say. And yet God's plan was in that all along. God's plan to take that which is infeasible, that which is impossible, right, and making it not only possible, but making it the avenue of his blessing, right? And not just to his chosen people, but to all people. And we see that then in the birth of Christ, something impossible, right? Prophesied that it would be through a virgin, not something that's possible, and yet possible with God. In a way that no one can mistake who this is, right? No one else can fulfill that prophecy but Christ. And God, time after time, takes that which is the least and makes it the most, that which is impossible, and makes it possible, that which can't be fulfilled, and fulfills it. And and we see the very beginning here of, obviously, the beginning of the New Testament in the birth of Christ, the beginning of Samuel's ministry and prophesying here in chapter 3. And I love the last few verses we read together there in chapter 3. And it says, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, I often read that Samuel did not let the words of God fall to the ground. And as I sat down, I thought, that's not what it said. And I went back and I read it again. And it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So the Lord did not let Samuel's words fall to the ground. So the Lord made Samuel's words effective, right? Do you ever feel like your words fall to the ground? If you're a parent, I think you've experienced that. Because I know as a child, I let some of my parents' words fall to the ground. But the Lord made Samuel's words effective. He made his ministry effective. But how does that happen? I think we have to go back and we have to say, well, that relationship is a two-way street. That if Samuel's words don't fall to the ground, it's because he didn't let the Lord's words fall to the ground. And maybe I'm trying to fit that in because that's how I always wanted to read the verse. I hope that's not the case. But I think it's true that if we want our lives to be effective, we can't let these words of truth fall to the ground. We can't let them just fall unused. But these have to be present, not just in our minds, but in our lives, in everything that we do. And those things, you know, that we talked about this morning, that we heard of, and thinking about being a blessing. Thinking about the cross in a very practical sense. What does it mean, right, to take up our cross? As we go back and look at what Christ was doing and what he was about, right? He didn't heal everyone. He didn't reveal himself to everyone. Because he had a very particular purpose. And that purpose was to be on the cross in our place. And some of those other things may have distracted him from his purpose or made his purpose impossible. Now, as I say that, right, nothing's impossible. We can see that already. But yet he didn't come, right, to take away everyone's pain. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to give everyone the opportunity of life. And it's not the same thing. The opportunity of life does not mean the absence of pain. And as you know, as the people came, they came to Christ for many reasons, right? But some was, right, to be healed. And he did heal many physically. But that wasn't the end. Right? Because what's going to happen to this physical body? Even if we're in the best shape that we can possibly be in. You know, how long do we have? A century? A century and a score? It's going to come to an end. But the healing that does not end, right, is the healing that was done on the cross, that taking of the sin for us. And so I say that to say that if we go back to this morning and think again about how do we approach life, how do we approach this next week, what do we think about each week? Because we all have our responsibilities, and we're trying to be good parents, we're trying to be good employees, we're trying to be good neighbors, trying to be good members of the church. But in all of it, right, it goes back to the pattern of Christ of being a blessing, not looking for a blessing. It's been really impactful to me just in the last few hours as I've contemplated that. Because we like to be blessed, don't we? I mean, why do we go to work? Don't we love, right, that Friday when the paycheck comes? I mean, that's a reward. It's a affirmation of why I'm working. But am I a blessing where I am? Am I a blessing to the people that I'm working with? Isn't that, based on this morning, isn't that so much more important than the paycheck that I'm getting? And it just kind of, if we look at all our relationships that way, it just kind of puts everything in a different perspective and challenges us to think about, what am I doing in my relationships? How am I acting in my relationships? And what is my goal in those relationships? Am I trying to get something from someone? Or am I trying to give to someone? And, you know, we have here God giving to us. We see him giving to Samuel. And we see him time and time again giving in situations that we think are impossible. And we go back here and think about Samuel, right, coming before God, and God saying, here's what's going to happen to Eli, right, and to his household. And what is Samuel, how does he deal with this, right? I mean, he just wants to keep silent, not say anything. But Eli presses him, And I think this is, I think this is a very important moment for Samuel, because he has just been called. He's just been given, right, the truth of God. And it's a very substantial way. This is not just some small matter. This is a very substantial matter. And it's one that he doesn't have much time to deal with. And Eli comes to him and says, "Tell me what the Lord said. Reveal to me what the Lord said." And Samuel's going to be called to reveal the truth of God over and over and over again. And I think that this was a very momentous moment. And perhaps God designed it specifically this way. This is a tough message to deliver to the person that he respects maybe above anyone else. Right? And yet God has revealed this truth to him. And Eli is pressing him, saying, "If you don't tell me, may God make this happen to you." It says Samuel in verse 18, "Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, 'It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.'" Can you imagine the relief that Samuel felt at that moment? Right? How does he know how Eli's going to react? He's got to have all kinds of fears and emotions going on at this time. To think about revealing this to the person that's taught him, the person that's loved him, the person that's cared for him. And Eli says, "It is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." And I think at times, in our own hearts and our own minds, we build up all kinds of walls about what's possible and what's not possible. And we read these stories, we read these accounts, and we know the truth of God. We know what's possible with God. And yet when it comes to our situation, when it comes to our circumstances, we say it's not possible, right? Because of this or because of that. It's not possible because of my failings. It's not possible because of your failings. It's not possible because of the short time frame. It's not possible because of the long time frame. Whatever it is, we find ways to say it's impossible. And yet we know for a fact that God can overcome any of those things. And so when we think of Samuel in that situation, think about the fear that Samuel had going before Eli. Do we fear sometimes going before people, in a sense? Do we fear sharing at times with someone the truth? Do we fear hearing the truth? I'm sure Eli had some fear in this moment. But if we're true to the call of God, if we're true to what God is asking of us, if we do not let His words fall to the ground, He is going to do the same for us. He's not going to let our words fall to the ground. Our words will become effective. Our words will become useful. If we ask, "How can I help?" Right? As Brother Clint challenged us this morning. Are those words going to fall to the ground? No. No, if you ask, "How can I help?" you're going to get a response. And you might get more than a response. You might get a relationship. You might get more than a relationship. You might get a friendship. It might be more than a friendship. It might be a lifelong friendship. All these things start when we sacrifice our fears and our reservations and our passions to the truth of God. Think about Joseph, right? Joseph's in a spot, he doesn't know what to do either. He's got an impossible situation. And he doesn't want to make a public example of Mary. Doesn't want to call her out. But he wants to deal with this quietly, privately. Just put her away privately. Right? Angel comes and speaks to him and says, "This is of God. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So what does Joseph do with that? How many people have been told that through the history of time? One. Right? So what does he do with that? He can either say, "Well, I'm going to deal with this my way," like Abraham did. You know, this promise, it's looking doubtful, God. I need to do something to help you out. Have we ever felt that way? I need to do something, Lord, to help you out, because you obviously have lost sight of what's going on here. No. Joseph, I mean, this isn't an easy decision because, right, he's dealing with his own pride. He's dealing with perception. He says, "I'm going to obey this call. I'm going to respond to this as I've been told to respond." Verse 24, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And I want us to have an appreciation and a sense of God with us, right? Because sometimes I lose sight of that. Sometimes I lose grasp of that. And I get discouraged in ways that do not reflect the power of God. And so if you're doubting that God's working in a situation in your life right now, if you're thinking that God is forgotten, that God doesn't care, I want you to reconsider. And I want you to think of Samuel being placed where he was in the start of his ministry, of his prophesying the truth of God. Because if we go back a couple chapters, we don't even believe that there is going to be a Samuel. I want you to think of Matthew 1, and I want you to think of the probability, right, of a son being born to a virgin. What probability would we put on that? Sometimes we think very short-sightedly, and I'm included in that, because we think of what I can do. We think of what powers I have. We think of what resources I have. And they fall so short of where we want to be. But the resources we actually have access to are resources that make the impossible possible. And not just possible, they make the impossible a reality. And it's according to the plan of a wonderful, loving, and powerful God. One that wants us not to be His servants, but wants us to be His children, His friends, to share in his inheritance, to commune with him in a way that was not known before Christ. And so as we stand in Christ, let's stand in the power of Christ, looking forward expectantly, right, that these things will be fulfilled, and that we can be an integral part of fulfilling his plan. By what? By being a blessing, not looking to be blessed.
I love that, called to not be servants, but to be sons and daughters, that God wants us to be his sons and daughters and to be a part of the inheritance. Appreciate that. And I questioned, what makes God angry? The family ethic is to use our power position to bless others. What did Eli's family do? They were in a power position, right? The priests. What did they do? And in verse 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did, how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." But they used their position to try and bless themselves, and God's heart for the vulnerable, right? God's heart for the poor, the lost, the widow, the foreigner. And how God yearns for parents that would give for their children, for CEOs that would give for their employees, for us to be a blessing, look to be a blessing. Look for a hymn selection and a prayer.
Father, three times we heard about people being called by you. This morning we heard about Ananias, who thought it was probably just a great thing that the persecutor of the faith was blinded, but you changed things and had him heal him. This afternoon, Joseph thought he had two decisions, two choices, publicly stone her or privately put her away. Your decision was marry her. So, Father, there comes times where we have those choices. And as you changed Ananias' and Joseph's by giving them wisdom and having them follow your direction, help us in this day that we don't lean totally on our own decisions, but that we trust you when you call upon us, which you promise you'll do, that we follow what you want us to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.